The GFM Strategic Plan, a presentation given by Bobby Gross and Nancy Padula at the InterVarsity Graduate and Faculty Ministries National Staff Conference on March 20, 2013, with an introduction by Kathy Cooper.
In the last 2 days, we've heard a number of stories of mission from the past, and even today, I'm guessing in your small groups this afternoon, you are hearing present stories of mission. And tonight we're going to be shifting into future stories of mission that we are invited into. Tonight we're going to hear a different sort of story of mission, a story of how the Holy Spirit has been leading InterVarsity and GFM in the process of developing a strategic plan for the next 5 years. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the words strategic plan, your eyes may just kind of glaze over, roll back into your head, and we start to check out. I know for myself personally, I have all these connotations with strategic plan with those words. It seems kind of businessy or corporate, or that's what sort of these senior leaders and board people with InterVarsity are dealing with, and it doesn't really feel very relevant to what's happening in my life on the ground in ministry. And so I confess that in the past, I've really not paid much attention to InterVarsity's strategic planning processes. And when I knew about a year and a half ago that InterVarsity was entering into a strategic planning process, I was kind of glad I was going on sabbatical. So I was on sabbatical a year ago. So when I returned from sabbatical in July and started this new position as the director of staff training for GFM, part of the job involves joining the GFM leadership team. And so I attended my first meeting in September. And our InterVarsity had just pretty much drawn to a close or was finishing up the strategic planning process, which meant that GFM was right in the middle of trying to discern what our strategic plan should be, because it's totally based on InterVarsity's strategic plan and in concert with that. And so I knew we'd be spending some time at these meetings in September talking about the strategic plan for GFM, and I was just not looking forward to it. But then when I was there, Bobby and the other regional directors in GFM who've been a part of these national meetings for the last couple years in the strategic planning process for InterVarsity, they started to talk about the story of how the Holy Spirit has been leading them. And so I heard how senior leaders in InterVarsity across the country have been immersed in prayer for the last couple years, and they've been listening for how God is working in the field, and their ears have been to the ground. And when they were having conversation together about the strategic plan and what they were sensing God was speaking to us about as a movement, there was this amazing sense of resonance and unity. And if you know anything about senior leadership and InterVarsity, historically there's just been a lot of difference and people coming from all over the place. And so it was just this uncanny sense of unity that really seemed like it was from the Lord. And so as I was hearing all this, and then they started to share what it is that we are yearning to see in the next 5 years in the university world and among students and faculty, and I found myself really captivated. So I'm going to let Bobby and Nancy share more about the strategic plan. But I'm really glad that you all showed up tonight and that you didn't take the evening off when you saw that it was strategic plan, because I hope and pray that you will be captivated too.
I'd like to begin with a prayer that echoes Pope Francis. at his installation yesterday. Join me. Today, Lord, amid so much darkness, allow us to see the light of hope and to be men and women who bring hope to others. Amen. We can kill the middle lights for me. So I'd like to begin by giving you a glimpse at a sacred moment, similar to what Kathy referred to, of the senior leaders of InterVarsity. And at the fall meetings this last year, with the new strategic plan having been done, at the October meetings of all those that report to a vice president, we took an evening and we celebrated what we had seen God do in the last strategic plan. And so at our tables, we made all these little post-it notes, and we put them on the different banners that represented different parts of the last national plan. So this is like noting the fruit of the plan. And we noticed that there are, we'll just move quickly through these, more new witnessing communities, a lot more than 5 years before, healthier witnessing communities, more students and faculty in the kingdom, a lot more than previous years had seen, more workers in the field, more vibrant multi-ethnic organization. And we were giving glory to God that night. And then we shared that kind of humble sense that the hand of the Lord had been with us in this last plan. It was pretty successful. And we had never done a plan like that, much less succeeded at it nationally at that level. And then we turned our attention to praying about the next strategic plan. And we'll just see that. So here's Alec praying for a group of leaders in the next plan. And then the next slide, here is Alec Hill, our president, and Jim Lundgren praying for Jason Jensen, who's the chair of the Discipleship Steering Committee, kind of the vanguard for the new discipleship initiative. Lynn Gill is on that steering committee. Here we are praying for our multi-ethnic ministry leaders. Here we are praying for Greg Howe and Scott Wilson, who are leaders on this campus access issue that we're facing. Here we are praying for the missions leaders, and now for the advancement leaders. And at the end, we prayed for Doug and Marilyn Stewart, who had been spiritual leaders all during this five-year period. We were asking that the Holy Spirit graciously lead us forward with this new plan, flawed as we are, individually and as an organization. It was a moving evening. So Jay was there to witness it. It was a moving evening for me, and it reinforced for me my confidence. Well, it's what Kathy said, my confidence in our leaders at this time. So I love that phrase from the scripture tonight. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It's both intimidating and encouraging. I believe that the Holy Spirit is at work when we think about our mission in the people involved in the mission, in us as those carrying out the mission, but also, and maybe more importantly, in the students and the faculty who are really the ones carrying out the mission, and we're just trying to encourage and equip them. And also in the many ministry partners who send us out and pray for us and resource us. And when we use the term we, talking about our mission, we, it's all of those people. It's us, it's the students and the faculty, it's the people who are partnering with us in this ministry. And we affirm that the Holy Spirit is at work in our missions context on the university campus. We say that many times. But sometimes we do forget to affirm that the Holy Spirit is also at work in us as an organization. Again, we have those misgivings, right? But the Spirit is at work in GFM, in InterVarsity. And our desire is that we would offer our organizational best for God to use in this mission, including our planning processes. We want the university to be renewed and offer its best for the glory of God. Surely we want to offer our best organizationally. So I'm just going to be very abbreviated here, but we've been working on our plan kind of pacing ourselves over the 2 years that the national plan has been taking shape so as not to get ahead of it. And I won't even kind of walk through all this because of time. But we've been working on it actually together. You know, a year and a half ago, all of the staff directors and leaders in this room were together for training and leadership development, one of the key parts of our plan. A year ago, we were working on evangelism right here, a big part of our plan, as you'll hear. And so we're now at the place tonight of kind of presenting the final version of this set of aspirations. I want to say to you that, we'll let this slide go here, that I'm so proud of the GFM leadership team. It's a great team. They've worked very hard on this plan together. Patience and persistence, everyone engaged, trying to balance our big dreams with our collective wisdom about capacity, right? Trying to weigh what can we centralize versus what do we decentralize. And also the commitment to specificity. How did I do on that? Specificity. Anna?
That's right.
Good. Specificity, action steps to go with these strategies, benchmarks that we can measure our progress by, persons named who will be responsible for the different parts of the plan. But probably what's been most important, not always easy for me given how I'm wired, is our team's attention to the spiritual side of this planning. Our prayer, a lot of prayer, both together and in between meetings as a team. Looking to Jay Civitz as our chaplain for our team, praying for us, listening to God for us, guiding us. Reading together this year a book by Ruth Haley Barton called Pursuing God's Will Together, so we could learn more about how to discern God's will as a team. We're still in the midst of that learning. And then I was pushing for us to get this plan done in late fall, and we just had to extend it for some more months because some wise voices on the team said we're just not ready. Because we needed to get to that place where we could say it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And so we just took longer. We just took longer. So I've written in the introduction to the plan that when you get the full version after the session tonight, there's a little section of the introduction, and I write this. We readily acknowledge with the psalmist, unless the Lord builds the house, right? We who labor. Therefore, we express these aspirations and intentions with humility and a pledge to continue in dependent prayer. And we have a joyful confidence that God will be gracious to us as we are faithful to Him. Can I just say that I'm really excited about tonight, and I know it's late, and we're going to ask your attention for the rest of this session, but I'm just so eager to give you a glimpse at what we've been working on. We actually can only show you the visible tips of the icebergs of this plan, and you will get a full copy of the plan as you leave. I want to remind you that the foundation for this plan is what we rehearsed yesterday, InterVarsity's purpose, InterVarsity's vision, the GFM mission, and our four ministry commitments. And a comment about the time frame of the plan. We were going to line the plan up with the national plan, 2012 to 2017, and as we kept extending our process to get it right, it made sense to us just in the last month to designate the time frame for our plan from July 2013 through June 2018. So those are the 5 years. We're considering this year that we're in, a year of planning, finishing the planning, preparation, foundation laying, but we're going to use the state of GFM as of last June 2012 is kind of our baseline for measuring our progress on our different goals. Well, here are the five initiatives of our plan. The three on the top are our missional initiatives. They're pointed towards the mission field. They're oriented around students and faculty. You can also see it what's on your table. Growth, to serve more students and faculty on more campuses. Evangelism, to empower students and faculty for faithful outreach that leads to greater fruitfulness. Discipleship, to strengthen our ministry to students and faculty in breadth and depth. And kind of foundational to those missional initiatives, foundational are leadership and organizational strength. We need to keep recruiting and developing the next generation of leaders, especially for the many leadership openings that stand vacant right now. And then we need to develop the resources and structures to better support you in the work in the field. I'm going to talk about the first two initiatives, and then I'm going to pass the podium to Nancy, and she will unfold the next three and help us with thinking about our response to the plan. Growth. Why do we want to grow? Well, the first reason I would suggest is that growth is biblical. Dan Dink, former NFD, now chair of InterVarsity's Theology Task Force, and I think there are five GFM staff who are on that task force, which is a great gift back to the movement. He's written a thoughtful paper called Growth Matters, Numbers Count. It's on the staff website. He rehearses God's interest in numerical growth from the beginning of Scripture, Genesis, be fruitful and increase in number, all the way to the end, Revelation, people from every tribe and language and nation. And think about the clues in Acts 11 last night. A great number became believers. They taught a great many believers. And then Dan challenges us in this paper. The Bible is full of images of growth. They're all used to show how God's kingdom is growing and will keep growing. We have reason to be bold, he says, in making goals and setting targets. We serve a big God. We have a great commission. We know something of the grand outcome. Jesus invites us to ask, to seek, to knock. Our Father is pleased to give good gifts to his children. Let's not be found asking small things of a big God. Amen, Dan. Now I want to acknowledge the dynamic tension between our prayerful aspiration to reach measurable goals and our humble realization that only God brings about spiritual fruit in response to faithfulness. And I think this is a healthy tension for us. And we don't want to err on either extreme, neither the presumption that we can prevail by the intensity of our efforts, nor a complacency that accepts the status quo too readily as God's will. God give us wisdom in living in this tension. Amen? The second reason we want to grow is this. Many, many campuses cry out for what we have to offer. Are we not captivated by the enormous possibilities of this mission that we rehearsed yesterday? And for all our progress in these 25 years, there's so many research universities untouched, so many professional schools to reach, so many students and faculty of all types who are yearning for what we have to offer. And in the places where we do have chapters, too many of them are woefully small. Out of 195 chapters at the end of last year, 82 involved 15 or fewer participants. So in most cases, I don't say all, but in most cases, when groups are under 20, we want them to grow. Why? Because they need to reach a certain size or critical mass in order to be effective in the mission. We need a certain size in order to find capable leaders. You need some kind of pool to draw from. In order to connect with many grad departments instead of just a few. In order to sustain a more noticeable witness. And to add discipleship opportunities beyond the weekly meeting. So we want all of our groups to grow, if possible. But to be effective in the mission, we must find ways to help some of our smaller groups break through those barriers and grow. So we have set three major goals under our growth initiative: to plant 50 or more new witnessing communities in these next 5 years, counting this year as well. A sustained focus, a continued really focus on planting, will allow us to get to maybe 25 or 30 new campuses, places like UCLA and Texas A&M and University of Maryland and University of Illinois at Chicago. And we want to put, as Mike said, PSM staff in hub cities that will work with multiple groups. And we're hoping to plan not just 10 faculty fellowships, but actually as many as 16 over these next years, some through our national planting cohort. Second goal is to grow 25% or more of our chapters by 25% or more. And the key strategy here is that many of us would take advantage of all that we are learning from the chapter building initiative nationally as we adapt it to the GFM context so that we become just a little more savvy about how to deploy our staff energies to help our groups grow. And then the third goal is to recruit and train 40 or more new campus staff. Already in this current year, which we're counting, this year of preparation, we've deployed 10 new staff, taking us a quarter of the way toward our goal. You saw them up here yesterday. And brothers and sisters, in the spirit of these meetings, as we expand our staff ranks, we want to give particular attention to adding more staff of color. Of the students and faculty that we now serve on campus, 22% are ethnic minorities, 20% are internationals, and 58% are white. But our GFM staff team, including a lot of associate staff who are not here, were 86% white. We deeply desire a greater diversity in this room because we want to reflect the cultural tapestry, the rich cultural tapestry of the church, just like they did at Antioch. We need each other that way. And we want the diversity so that we can continue to have our perspectives and our insights enlarged so that we're able to serve with greater excellence the whole range of students and faculty that God gives us to serve. A couple of examples of growth that have encouraged me recently. One is delightful. It's at Claremont again, the faculty group that Craig referred to. It's where Charles Barker works and teams with Dave Vosburgh, who you saw in that ESN table slide that Tom showed us today. He's the faculty leader of the group. Dave told me that the average attendance this year has grown from 12 to 15 last year to 25 to 30 this year. He credits a clear program with consistent themes, a critical mass of participants, and a culture of invitation that's taken root, more faculty inviting other faculty. One pair of meetings that Charles put together back in October attracted a lot of interest. Mormonism and Historic Christianity in Dialogue. You got to get him to tell you the story of how God sparked that idea for him. It's great. Four of our staff are involved in the national chapter building beta cohorts, so-called, testing staffing strategies for growth. So Rob Howe and David Williams, with Melody Marski and Bob Truby as their coaches, and Jeff Gissing is their area director. And we're looking forward, well, here's Melody and Rob, what we can learn from you guys as you participate in this cohort. Much more to say about growth. You can read the fine print in the larger handout. Evangelism. A year ago, at this conference, in this room, we engaged together around the challenge of witness among graduate students and faculty, with the goal to move from fear and intimidation to hopefulness. Do you remember? Most of you were here. Steve Rankin, chaplain at SMU, is our speaker. His own story modeled for us a gentle courage in bearing witness, even when we are regarded as outsiders in the eyes of the university. He called for a willingness to engage others lovingly, thoughtfully, and with a gracious vulnerability or transparency that releases the power of God, power in our weakness. And Craig, on behalf of the Evangelism Task Force, based on their research, commended to us three primary avenues for witness, for grad fellowships, faculty groups: friendship evangelism, hospitality outreach, and public square events. So our evangelism initiative really has just one major goal, and it comes straight out of last year's conference, to innovate effective strategies in these three areas and others. And the emphasis here is on innovation, as in Acts 11, but some spoke to the Greeks also. And Truby illustrated it for us today. Anna just illustrated it in how they did their Veritas Forum. It's trying new things, to learn what works, and as we find things that are effective, implementing them more widely so that we see greater fruitfulness, more response. I think fruitfulness will be evident in two broad ways. We see more groups develop a culture of invitation, no small thing, and we see more and more grad students and faculty crossing those five thresholds from distrust to curiosity to openness to seeking to faith. Some great examples. I learned this past week of a Japanese student, Kazuki. Did I say that right? Kazuki at UC Riverside, where David Meyer Reith works. Came, was involved in a Bible study for the first time in his life as a Japanese international student. Spirit moved in him. He put his faith in Christ. This is the video that that David is working through with him, I guess, to help him understand what it means to be Christian and Japanese before he goes back to Japan at the end of this semester. I asked Paula Puckett recently to tell me about her evangelism efforts at George Mason University. It's tough, she sighed. It's a commuter campus. Students basically work all day in jobs. They come take their classes at night. Time is really at a premium there. It's exactly what Charmaine said in her video about Suffolk. But they did have this one outreach that 50 people came out to. It was targeted at the law school and the public policy school, and the five students in the GCF group, together with the Christian Legal Society, put on a program, Human Trafficking, Does God Care? And they were able to communicate the message that caring human hearts reflect the heart of a God who cares. They wrote letters to Congress that night. 12 expressed interest in the group, but they were unresponsive to the follow-up efforts. Outreach is not easy. The leaders of the Dental School Fellowship at University of Michigan that James Paternoster works with invited a Christian faculty member to teach a weekly apologetic series. They sent a notice to the whole school email list, including all the faculty and the dean, and they reserved a classroom. But so many came to the first meeting, 73, that they had to move from a classroom to the lecture hall. And they sustained an attendance of about 70 all through the fall. And in December, at the end, 45 participants took up the offer for a book to read as part of the follow-up. So they're waiting to see what the fruit will be from that. And, of course, we're doing great things with Veritas. This is one that was just at Emory, featuring two evolutionary biologists, one Christian, one not. Morals Without God, a conversation on evolution, religion, and morality. Creativity, boldness, innovation. That's what we're talking about. One of the broad strategies of the initiative calls for continuing some kind of GFM evangelism team that will be made up of not just one champion for all of GFM, but we want to get to where we have four champions, one for each region, participating in the National Evangelism Department program, and that they would together kind of be stewards of our pilot projects and disseminating what we're learning. But mostly this initiative calls for three things from you who are on campus. That you would involve students and faculty every year in some kind of evangelism training, nothing new there. That you would try new things and share what you learn. And probably most importantly, that we would continue to practice spiritual disciplines around this area so that we are co-laboring with God. I think this evangelism challenge is one of our biggest challenges. I don't know if we can say that we know how to do it well. Not yet. And I think Anna's message is so apt tonight. How are we going to depend on God to see the breakthroughs, to try new things, to not be bound by what we have tried? And I'm not saying we're not learning and seeing. I think if we can't make progress together in these next 5 years, I feel sad that many Christians will remain silent and sidelined when it comes to bearing witness to their peers. And our claim that we establish and advance witnessing communities will be more rhetorical than real. And the number of decisions to follow Christ will remain sadly low. 61 last year, I thank God for that, but that's only about 1.4% of the total participants in our groups. But if we can make progress in these next 5 years in this area, by God's grace, by God's power, more grad students and faculty will be more open about their faith and bolder to speak of it, and more willing to participate in various means of outreach that may have been tested, because we will have led them spiritually and trained them contextually and equipped them with strategies, starting with our own examples. I pray, I invite you to pray, that 5 years from now we can rejoice in seeing much greater fruit in this part of our mission in terms of decisions for Christ. So Nancy will come.
I'm going to invite you to stand up, and I'm going to invite you to think about something. So I'd like you to, as you're stretching your body, to think of two people, students or faculty, who are on your heart because you're looking for growth in their faith. You can stretch while you think. Give the person in front of you a shoulder rub. Don't talk. Hey, now. All right, you may sit down. Maybe they're on your heart because it's someone who's struggling with the weight of being exactly where he or she is called to be vocationally. Maybe it's someone who's going through a season where their relationship with God is actually inadequate to the challenges they're facing. Maybe it's someone whose immaturity in one area has finally caught up with them, or someone who's facing suffering for the first time, personally or professionally. Most of us came to GFM with a deep longing to see men and women become vibrant, lifelong disciples of Jesus in every area of their life, and for every season of their life, including their professional work. The things we wake up thinking about or that occupy our prayers have to do with how to help each individual engage more deeply with their faith in their work each day, or how to keep head and heart and body together and aligned with Christ through the ebb and flow of grad school and faculty life, or how to help a group that's kind of lost on one part of the four commitments become more healthy and more whole so the people in it grow to resemble the people of Christ in mission more and more. We understand that the work of discipleship is complex, and we really have no illusions about being able to give someone what they need for the rest of their lives. And yet we really do understand that when we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, that we are helping people form new patterns of being disciples that we anticipate will last a lifetime. Over the next 5 years, we want to strengthen our ability to engage in discipleship with all students and faculty with more breadth and depth. At the same time, we want to equip staff to serve students and faculty in some very specific ways that connect with their gender, their life stage, their ethnic background, and for some, their professions. So we have two major goals. The first is to develop greater expertise in leadership for serving PhD students, professional students, faculty, emerging scholars, women, ethnic minorities, and internationals. Now, as you can imagine, I would like to spend 15 minutes talking about each of these, and I'm not going to do that. So breathe easy. But I am going to touch just a second or two on some of the things that people in each of these ministry areas have been thinking about, praying about, and committing to long-term planning and work around. One of the primary areas of InterVarsity's national strategic plan for the next 5 years is focused on discipleship. And Bobby mentioned the discipleship work group that's been put together and Lynn's part in it. This is a great, great piece of news for those of us who have wondered if our great work in chapter building and chapter planting and evangelism in the last season has perhaps caused us to forget a little bit about discipleship. Friends, this is great news.
The initial work of the task force is impressive, and Lynn is representing us on the task force working on vocational stewardship. So we will join with Lynn in testing the tools of the task force and in working hard to form them and engage with them in a way that works with graduate students, and in giving feedback to the plan, and in serving the larger movement by continuing to help in the area of vocational stewardship. This will enable us to strengthen our training for new staff and for students, and it will enhance our ability to contribute thoughtfully to discipleship across InterVarsity, I hope and pray. One of the primary places where we'll explore all this is in our PhD groups, our GFM general chapters, and the impact we hope will flow to all of the ministry that we do. We plan to expand professional school ministry over the next 5 years, and with the addition of Ray as our new professional director of professional school ministry, we're poised to strengthen our PSM team. We hope to add a healthcare coordinator and to begin considering deeper investment in one or more new professional areas. We're looking forward to improving training opportunities for all of the staff who work with PSM groups, and strengthening our discipleship with students through events like Believers in Business and through our growing partnership with Christian Legal Society and Christian Medical and Dental Association. We will strengthen our discipleship ministry to faculty, and again, note the new leaders that are already in our midst. In the next 5 years, under Craig's leadership, in conjunction with expanding our ministry to faculty, we hope to provide deeper discipleship through expanded conferencing, which provides the opportunity for faculty to be together to learn, to network, to think, and to dream about what can happen on their campuses. We plan to host a gathering for senior university administrators with the hope of serving and supporting these leaders and with the hope of learning from them so we can do what we do on campus more effectively. We hope to serve future faculty and scholars more thoughtfully through the expansion of ESN. And again, let's begin now praying for a new director for ESN. To make this possible, we plan to develop new avenues for connecting with emerging scholars on campus, expanding our mentoring program. In addition, we'll work with our UFM brothers and sisters to develop tools for vocational stewardship, discipleship of the mind, and getting ready for grad school. My friends, I look forward to this partnership. This is part of our legacy, and we want to serve our undergrad colleagues by providing the tools they need to serve scholars and preparing them to come and join us in graduate and faculty ministry. You heard some great news about women in the academy and profession today from Marcia, so I won't touch on all those things, but again, we are praying for a new director for women in the academy and professions. We will continue to deepen our work with staff. We want to form greater partnerships with faculty ministry and with staff on campus so that we can provide tools to help us serve ministry in all of our groups. We want to continue to reach out to women who don't have faculty and grad communities available on campus through the internet. Our hope is to provide mentoring networks, expand our ministry for women of color, and to continue thinking about how we can help women do effective evangelism on campus. In terms of our international student ministry and our ethnic minority student and faculty work, we are looking for a national coordinator for international student ministry. We'll build training for all staff who begin work with internationals, and our hope is to increase both our welcome for international students on the insides of our existing chapters and to build more international student-specific chapters on strategic campuses where there's not a strong presence from our ministry or another ministry in place. You've heard also this afternoon a lot about the startup of our multi-ethnic task force. And some of the things that we plan to work on in the next 5 years. In addition to that, we hope to host exploratory meetings for how we can more effectively serve Latino students and Asian American students, and we'll explore where our internal leadership structure should move to be most effective to help us to do good multi-ethnic and ethnic-specific ministries. Our second goal is to create a high-quality GFM web presence to reach and resource our ministry audience. The bad news is we are behind as an organization in using the web as a tool to serve students and faculty of this generation. I don't think that's news to many of us. I have been told by a new member of our staff team that we're not in the dark ages, so that was good news to me. We have a long way to go. The good news is that Lori Thabit and Tom have begun guiding our work in this area, and I'm very excited about what this is going to make possible for us. Our plan is really to move our web presence forward in such a way that we provide better resources for our own students and faculty and staff, but that even these will allow us to create avenues to connect with others who are not able to be involved in our chapters. Now, I know that you are all thinking in the back burner of your head still about those two people who you are longing for growth in as disciples. And I bet that at least one of the categories that I've touched on touches the students or faculty that you're thinking of. All of these changes are meant to impact men and women just like the ones you're thinking about. And I'd like to end this section by reading you just one letter from Regina, a recent grad from the University of Missouri. Hi, Marcia. I came to know about the well when I was in journalism graduate school at the University of Missouri, Columbia. I defended in late August. It was a pretty rough time as I didn't know anyone initially. I felt lost with my relationship status and grappled with questions concerning my future. An InterVarsity alum at the University of California, Davis, I decided to find grad resources on Ivy's website, which took me to the well. I subscribed to the monthly newsletter and loved it. It was so important for me to know I wasn't the only one struggling in grad school and to receive wisdom and empathy from those who had trodden the same path. After a year, I started a weekly prayer group in my apartment and thus built a grad community. For a while, I thought about quitting grad school. I'm so glad I stayed. I have to credit much of my perseverance to the encouragement I received from the well. Thank you so much for all that you've done and that you're doing for the well. God has used this ministry to encourage and comfort me in a stressful time in my life. May this be so for the people in your hearts and for so many others as we continue our work in discipleship. Leadership. In the area of leadership, we want to recruit and develop the next generation of leaders, and you have already heard a number of them mentioned tonight. I joined GFM as the area director for New York, New Jersey in 2002, the year we separated from the management structure of the undergrad ministry. On the spot, for the most part, GFM had to put together our best stab at a full national management team out of nothing. Yeah, it was funny. Actually, it was pretty inspiring. While there were some regions with grad ADs, for the most part, we were starting from scratch, and it was pretty impressive to see what happened. People stepped up to fill RD vacancies to get us off the starting block. Supervisors, full of vision for what God wanted to do, hired staff without area directors in place. For the past 10 years, we've been on a journey to staff major universities with GFM staff, and one of our greatest challenges has been hiring enough area directors to catch up. For the past several years, my metaphorical image for where we are is about three-quarters away of the way up the mountain of being our own well-established, appropriately staffed movement with a strong management and leadership team in place. In the next 5 years, our audacious goal is to add about 15 new leaders to GFM. 10 of these positions will be filled for the first time. Seven of them are area director positions. Other spots include a national coordinator for ISM, two faculty ministry regional coordinators, and replacement positions include the next director of women in the academy and professions, the next DSN director, the next national coordinator for healthcare ministries, and the next regional director for the Midwest. What do these leaders make possible for us? I probably don't need to tell you, because you're already praying for these people on your teams because of your longing for the things that they'll do. Let me just name a few. A regional faculty conference in the South Central region. Expanded ministry and out, reach to emerging scholars. Stronger partnership ministry with healthcare students and deeper partnership with CMDA. But most of all, the ability to serve God with chapters on campuses where there is no GFM presence at all. Our goals are to instill a culture of leadership development throughout GFM and to put in place a full complement of staff directors and focused ministry leaders. Strategies include focusing on leadership development for staff and staff directors and dedicating efforts to identify internal and external candidates. If you are sitting in this room, you are a leader. We want to develop leaders at every level. We need strong campus practitioners who help us think well, conceptually and practically, about our work and mission with creativity and excellence. We need leaders for national roles, to lead task forces, to act as national coordinators, to advise, to serve our broad GFM movement. And we want and need to develop managerial leaders who are willing to use their leadership gifts to grow our areas and to help us reach out to new campuses. People, as a GFM movement, we need to value, seek, and pray for all three of these kinds of leaders. And if you have sinned in the area of valuing any one of these kinds of leadership gifts or leaders over another, these next 5 years would be a great time to repent. And join the movement of prayer that God would provide excellence in all of these levels of leadership for us. We need all these kinds of people. Our hope is that this group of men and women will increasingly be more and more diverse in terms of age, ethnic background, giftedness, season of life, and that this will prepare us to serve the next generation of graduate students and faculty. You know, several years ago, the national leadership team was praying regularly and with deep, deep longing for leadership for the West. And for me, it's been nothing less than a spiritual experience to watch the ministry in the West grow under Lynn's capable leadership and through the gracious provision of God. Her team has gone from 3 staff to 11 in less than 3 years. And if we could count the number of chapters and the number of students and faculty who have been impacted, we would be dazzled by what God has done in answer to our prayers. I asked Don Paul where his team would hope to develop new ministry in Texas if they had a Texas area director. Here's his list: Baylor, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Texas Medical Center, and University of Houston. One area director. When I look at the size of those campuses, it's not hard for me to imagine that might mean anywhere from 15 to 20 new graduate and faculty chapters. What might be possible if we were to place area directors in the Northwest, in the Rocky Mountains, in Kentucky and Tennessee, in Northern California? I am so eager to see what God will do from our work and our diligent prayers around leadership development. The last area I want to talk about is organizational strength. And in this area, our aim is to develop resources and infrastructure to better support staff in the mission. Our first goal is to make critical improvements in administration and infrastructure. Okay, if we're honest, we can probably agree that administration and infrastructure are invisible to most of us except when they're not working. And when we're really honest, many of us... for many of us, improving organizational structures and creating structures that strengthen and support our growing work on campus is not our forte. Some of us have trouble just engaging the structures that other people put in place. I have to say that under Lori's leadership, we have made tremendous progress in the past 2 years. And I actually like us to give her a round of applause. I'm going to avoid the use of the phrase herding cats here, but I just want to name a few of the things that Lori has made possible for us in the past 2 years. Under Lori's capable leadership, we have expanded and diversified our administrative team, adding Elsie, Tricia, and Nan. We now have administrative support for all of the regional teams. We've strengthened our communications through Inside GFM for all of our work that happens in GFM, and also become more visible to the rest of InterVarsity through Inside InterVarsity. How many of you read Tim Leary's article last month, excellent article about international student ministry? Out to all of InterVarsity, a gift from GFM. We've partnered more effectively with other parts of the national organization, and in the process, we've strengthened our relationships and others' knowledge about what we do. Lori has led Bobby and I to think more clearly and concisely about why excellent systems and operations are a necessity for GFM to function well and grow. So, in the next 5 years, we'll focus on three areas for improvement. The first one, I think you will experience pretty directly. We're going to work on improving alignment of our managerial processes and tools, and that means several things. We're working toward a sequencing of our planning cycle to serve us more effectively at every level so that our national, regional, area, and campus planning are positioned as advantageously as we can get them to enable us to reflect, to pray, to plan, to commit our plans to work, and to work faithfully in a cycle that connects and doesn't feel like it's out of sync all the time. That's going to be something we're going to experiment with next year, and we hope to bring real improvement in the next 2 years. And along with that, we're hoping to revise our tools so they work better together to simplify and align our planning, reporting, and performance appraisals. Secondly, we're going to create a functional GFM database, and this means we'll complete the merger of our own data system with the national system. And as many of you know, that means we've got to work with the folks who serve us in that department to develop clear policies for use. So that will be completed within the next 5 years. And then finally, we'll continue to evaluate our administrative needs and to add administrative positions as we need to. The last area, we have reached the last area on the strategic plan. This will end. You've been patient listeners. We're going to work on improving and increasing our ministry partnerships. Ministry partnership development is the new paradigm or the new language we're using to describe our engagement with donors, prayer supporters, and volunteers. Our hope is to get better at working with ministry partners in all of these types of relationships to increase their exposure to what we do, to enable them to engage more with our work, and to enable them to give in the ways that they want to give. So much more to say there. I'm not even going to try right now. I actually think it's very exciting. It's very promising for the ways that our brothers and sisters outside of InterVarsity can lift us up and help us to do more effectively what we want to do. There are three main strategy areas here. We're going to complete our first GFM funding campaign to secure $1.2 million in funding to get behind this plan. We're going to cultivate and engage a GFM advisory council, and along with the rest of InterVarsity, we're going to engage in learning about partnership with ministry donors. So, I would like you to stretch for a minute where you are. You've heard a lot in the last half an hour. In a few minutes, we'll have some time for Q&A. But right now, I want us to take a few minutes to pay attention where we are as the people of GFM. Friends, there's an invitation here for us to step into this mission together. There's an invitation to trust the process that's taken place. There's a big invitation to trust the Holy Spirit has been at work and will continue to be at work as we work on this plan. As we begin on this journey, we're asking God to change GFN in some significant ways. And as we've seen through Scripture this week and through stories, when God grows the mission, He grows the missionary. Make no mistake, if we pursue this plan, we will not be the same people sitting in this room in 5 years, and we will not be the same organization. God will change us, and God will grow us. There's some significant change processes called for in this plan that will impact all of us. I'm just going to name a few. We're going to seek to grow our evangelism in the quality and quantity of the outreach that we do and the number of invitations to faith we make appropriately on campus. We're going to create a different culture of hospitality and cross-cultural awareness and welcome inside GFM. We're going to work to instill a culture of leadership development in GFM, and I hope we're going to beg God together to bring us the next generation of leaders. Amen. We're going to engage with InterVarsity's larger journey in discipleship, choosing to be partners, trying new tools, giving good feedback, and urging good thinking across the movement about vocational stewardship. Now, those of us who've been thinking and praying and planning for more than a year have had some time to wrestle with this call to change. We've put some cool stuff in the plan and taken it back out because we decided it was too much. We've come to terms with needing to focus on some things. And many of you are hearing a whole lot tonight for the first time. We respond very differently to change. Some of us love it, and we're bored to tears if something doesn't change at least once a month. Some of us hate it. For most of us, it brings at least some fear and anxiety. What if we lose our core? What if I have to do things I'm not good at? What if this stops feeling the way it felt in the past when I worked here? What if I don't have enough energy? What if an area dear to my heart doesn't seem to be high enough on the priority list? Many of us make friends with change slowly because we need different things to embrace the change that we're being invited to step into. You know, when it comes to change for me and my personality, I'm a rational critic. When you ask me to change, at best, you'll get some cautious optimism at first. At worst, you'll get some strong resistance. And that's for a couple reasons. One, my good gifts of wisdom and discernment come immediately into play, and I need more information to understand and buy in. Sometimes that gets tied up with some of my own temptations and idolatries, and I become too quick to criticize, or I make assumptions about what the formers of the plan might have failed to consider. Sometimes it's hard for me to get past what I wanted in the plan that didn't make the cut. I need time to digest the rationale by asking questions. It needs to make sense to me intellectually, and it needs to have integrity with my view of ministry and organizational health in both my mind and heart. It's a problem with being an NF. I also need time often to come to terms with what the change will mean for me attitudinally. Sometimes I need time to pray through areas of questions, where my priorities are missing especially, or in places where I sense I'm going to have to change something that seems to me that in my corner of the world is working pretty well. So I want to invite you right now to be still and figure out what's going on for you intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. I want you to take a moment to engage with yourself. And I actually think it would be great if you took out a piece of paper and if you jotted a few notes. And then I'm going to ask you to be quiet and ask God what you need in response. Ask God what you need to engage this plan. What is it that it will take for you to digest, to clarify, to engage? Where might you get hooked? Attitudinally, intellectually, emotionally, from holding back. So I'm going to invite us to a period of silence, reflection, what's going on inside, and to some moments alone of prayer. There'll be plenty of time to pray together tomorrow. This is really about you paying attention to a conversation between you and God about what's happening right now.